Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair.
Hello and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, which means that no matter what trials, tribulation, things that we encounter, God is always moving on our behalf, and God has always got a good plan in store for us. Well, I'm excited to be with you tonight. This is a very, very important message, and I titled it Prophetic Faith, the Faith to Move Mountains. Prophetic faith, the faith to move mountains. And we know Scripture talks about, the Lord says, if you had the faith as a mustard seed, that you could speak to a mountain and you could command it to move and it would move. And so that we're going to be talking about that type of faith. And I challenge you tonight that this is not going to be your typical faith message that you've always heard, but I'm going to give you some practical steps by which you can activate your faith and that you can move into a new realm of faith. Because what I'm finding is, you know, I guess I'll tell you my background. I got saved in what we would call a word of faith church, you know, which is usually when you say word of faith, that means somebody that's closely associated with Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Fred Price, Creflo Dollar, those types of churches. And I got saved in a Word of Faith church, and it really, really, really had a huge impact on my life because, you know, it was through the Word of Faith movement that I learned how to believe God for my healing, believe God for finances, believe God for His blessings in my life. And what I'm finding lately, you know, as I've been ministering to people, what I'm finding is that a lot of people, don't really understand faith. It's almost as though the word of faith message is now starting to kind of fall by the wayside, and a lot of people really don't understand how to access faith, how to move in faith, and yet faith is a very substance of everything that we stand for, because the Scripture says that without faith it's impossible to please God, and that faith is a way that we actually please the Lord. And then the Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And, you know, for so long I was taught that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that word of faith was actually the Bible. But as I began to do a word study and search on it, I found that not only is that logos, but that's also rhema as well, which basically means that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the prophetic word of God, meaning that a prophecy, a prophetic word that comes from the voice of the Lord by way of the Holy Spirit can actually be used as a tool that will raise our faith. And you know, the Scripture even says that, you know, when it's looking at the prophetic, it says, let every man prophesy according to the measure of his faith. You know, as a prophet, I can't even, the degree to which I can speak and decree the word of the Lord is dependent upon the level of faith that I have. And so all of those things come into play, and we see how significant and how important faith is. And so for the next 5 to 7 weeks or however long the Lord tells me, I doubt it's going to be any shorter than 5 weeks, but I've been working on this and doing some study on this, on the whole area of faith. And what I want to do is begin to start stirring up your faith. You know, the Scripture says that God confirms His word by signs and wonders following. You know, and I'm a firm believer that whatever you study, whatever you hear, you begin to have faith for. And my prayer is that at the end of these teachings, that your faith will be a little bit higher and you'll be able to access the will, the purpose, the glory of God, his blessings, just a little bit more than you were before. So that's what we'll be teaching on tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you would, too, please, to share the link to this blog show with your friends. So, you know, you can go on my Facebook at Facebook.com/Prophet Kyle, or it may be even Prophet Kyle T. Miller. You can go and you can find my Facebook page. And on there I have a link, and I'm going to ask you if you would be so kind to share that link with your friends, because they need to be on this line. They need to hear what's going on and hear what God is saying to his people in this time and this season. And God is really, really, really wanting to activate our faith, increase our faith so we can go to the next level. All righty. Well, I'm going to ask if you would, if you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 3. And I just kind of gave you a brief overview. But tonight I'm going to be talking about prophetic faith, the faith to move mountains, and just explaining to you why it's so important for you to have a faith to receive things. You know, because the scripture says it this way. It says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. However, in order for us to access the promises of God, we have to have a faith of believing that God will actually do what it is that we say, and so or that we ask of him. And so, you know, most of the time, if I'm talking to someone and I ask them, I say, you know, do you believe? I'll just give this as an example. Do you believe that God heals? And I may ask someone, I may say, do you believe that God heals? And most believers, you know, they'll say, yeah, I do, I believe that God heals. But then if I ask them and I say, okay, do you believe that God will heal you? Then sometimes it's a pause there. They're not, you know, they're not really sure, you know, well, I think he might heal me. But a lot of times we really don't even have the faith to believe what it is God has already promised us. Or I may say someone may have a financial problem, and they'll come to me and they'll say, oh, Brother Kyle, you know, would you please pray for my finances? Pray for my finances. Okay, which I don't mind doing that. You know, I God has been gracious to me, and I've had pretty high success in praying for, you know, and helping people faith in, you know, the financial shortfalls they have, you know. So I actually enjoy doing that. However, you know, God has given you a measure of faith. The scripture says that God has given every man the measure of faith. A lot of times we teach that incorrectly, and we say God has given every man a measure of faith, or God's given everyone a measure of faith. But the scripture actually says God has given every man the measure of faith. So when you confess and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God, that you received him as Lord and Savior, he deposited within you a dimension of faith. And, you know, he gave all of us the same dimension of faith. You know, I'm not, you know, special or, you know, one of God's favorites, so he gave me more faith than he gave you. No, he gave all of us the measure of faith. So all of us, when we receive Jesus our Lord and Savior, we receive the dimension or element of faith, okay? Now, the scripture then says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So to the degree and dimension that we hear and receive his word, his scripture, to the degree and dimension that we receive his prophetic voice, that's going to be to the degree that our faith begins to increase and it begins to grow. You know, and all these scriptures, while I'm sitting here teaching you, all these different scriptures are coming to mind. You know, the scripture says, and this just shows you how important it is for us to have the prophetic in our life. You know, the scripture says that without a vision, the people perish. And the reason why they perish is because they don't have faith to believe or to see God for anything. And one translation of that scripture, without a vision, the people perish, says, without prophetic revelation, the people move backwards. without prophetic revelation, the people move backwards. So, you know, we hear all this conversation and people say, you know, well, bless God, you know, all I need is a Bible. You know, we don't need prophecy. Or, you know, people say, you know, we need to seek the giver, not the gifts. You know, well, all of those things sound very religious. The only problem with it is that none of that is actually biblical. You know, because the scripture says, without prophetic revelation, the people move backwards. You know, so, you know, and I'm sure most of you have experienced this. You receive a prophetic word from the Lord. It encourages your faith. You know, scripture says that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You know, you get built up, you know, when you get that prophetic word and it shares with you a dimension of a plan that God has for your life, you know, that encourages you. You know, it boosts your faith. It allows you to believe God for more because you know God is real. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I truly do believe that the enemy has fought the prophetic, because when the prophetic word is released and it's truly a word from the Lord, it causes people's faith to rise. You know, they get encouraged, you know. And the scripture even says it this way, you know, desire spiritual gifts. This is in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. You know, so we should all be desiring to prophesy. You know, does that make all of us prophets? No. Scripture says in Ephesians, God has given some apostles, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So we know that not all of us are apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. However, the scripture says that we should all covet to prophesy. You know, and that means we should strongly desire it. You know, I looked up the word covet. One of the words for covet is to long for, to lust after. I mean, think about that. It says that we should covet to prophesy. It means we should lust after. We should strongly, earnestly desire to prophesy. You know, God wants you to be able to prophesy. He, you know, and the reason why is this. The scripture says, you know, in Ephesians, excuse me, not Ephesians, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, you know, someone gives a prophecy, you know, if we pray in tongues, you know, in a congregational setting, people may not always know what you're saying. However, when we pray in prophecy, you know, then men are edified, you know, so prophecy brings edification. It builds us up. It encourages our faith. It boosts our faith. Amen. And so that's another reason why prophecy is so important is that it's a method that God uses to increase our faith. Scripture says this way, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, and that word of God is not just the logos, but it's also the prophetic. So looking at Hebrews 3:16-19, and now I'm talking to you why it's so important that we manifest faith and that we increase our faith. Amen. Hebrews 3:16-19, it says, for some, when they had heard it, did provoke. How about not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? This is a scripture that's talking about the children of Israel and their transformation and their transition from Egypt to the promised land. And we know the story that God gave Moses a word that he was going to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage, where the Israelites had been in captivity for over 400 years. And so God speaks to Moses and tells Moses, hey, I want you to release my people and let my people go. And, you know, through a series of circumstances and spiritual conflicts that he had with Pharaoh, the people were released, and they went out of Egypt into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And in this time, a lot of times they didn't always believe God the way that they should have, although God demonstrated himself with great signs and wonders. So this is what Hebrews 3:16 is referring to when he says in verse 16, for some, when they heard it, did provoke, meaning that they heard the word of the Lord, but they were not obedient to it. As a matter of fact, as the scripture said, they provoked the word. They provoked God to anger. They even provoked Moses to anger because they refused to believe and receive what the Lord had said. How about not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? And so it says that in all this time, it says that God was actually grieved with them for these 40 years because they failed to believe his word. You know, it's like God had given them a promise and said, I'm going to take you out of Egyptian slavery. I'm going to take you out of the wilderness, and I'm going to bring you into a land of milk and honey. But the scripture says that the people failed to believe the word of the Lord, and so it grieved God, meaning that they did not receive the word of God with faith. Goes on to say, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So we know that many of the people, the children of Israel, they never entered into the promised land because they failed to believe God in faith, and they actually died in the wilderness. And to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So this is saying that, you know, the Lord told him, he said that, you know, he told Moses, he said, you know, your people are not going to be able to enter into the promised land. So they never entered into the rest because they didn't believe what God had spoken to them. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So the Lord did not even allow them to enter into the promised land because of their unbelief, because they didn't have belief. Now, y'all, this is why faith is so important. This is why I'm telling you and I'm teaching this lesson about faith and why it's so important that we believe God and we take him at his word. Because when we don't take him and receive God at his word, it restricts and disallows us from entering into the blessing of what God has for us. You know, so the Lord, he restricted them and he did not allow them to enter in because of their unbelief. Now, I wonder, how many blessings and promises of God do we fail to receive because of our unbelief? Because we really just don't believe that God is going to do what he said that he was going to do. And, you know, and I think this is very important because, you know, there's been some wrong teaching about the prophetic where, you know, some have preached and teach, even some well-meaning prophets have said that, hey, you know, when that prophetic word goes forth, if it's from God, it's going to come to pass no matter what. You know, and that sounds good. You know, I've heard teachings that said that, you know, if the prophetic word doesn't come to pass, you know, it's because the prophet didn't exercise to believe that it was going to come to pass. It's on the faith of the prophet, you know, that it comes to pass. However, we don't really see a pattern for that in Scripture. Now, I'm a firm believer that anything that God will show us, and I do believe that God reserved the right to share with us things that are not within the Scripture, but I do believe that anything that God does speak to us can be confirmed in Scripture. And we see right here in the Scripture, you know, that the Lord gave them a promise. And he said, you know, I've caused you to be raised up and that you would enter into a land of milk and honey. But the scripture says right here in Hebrews 3 and 19, it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So although the prophetic word went forth through the prophet Moses, that prophetic word did not manifest itself to everyone that it was spoken to, because the scripture says they couldn't receive it because of their unbelief. So faith is extremely important, and we start talking about prophetic faith. Faith is extremely important in us accessing and receiving from God, because if we don't believe what God has said, whether in his scripture and his word, then we're not going to be the inheritance or receive the inheritance of what we are believing God for. I mean, the scripture is pretty clear right here. You know, okay. let every word, you know, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I'm asking if you turn to Hebrews 4. Turn to Hebrews 4. And we're talking about prophetic faith, a faith that will move mountains. You know, and I'm wanting to start by, you know, building a foundation and then, you know, going through these scriptures with you, because I really want you to understand what the Bible says on these things, so that when you receive a prophetic word from the Lord, you can access that word by faith and receive the exact manifestation of what the prophet has prophesied. You can also, I want you to be in a position where when you grab onto a scripture and that word becomes rhema to you, that you can access that word and receive the manifestation of it. Okay, Hebrews 4, starting verse 1. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Okay, so here again, it's talking again. It says, you know, let us therefore fear. In other words, let us have a holy reverential fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So he's saying, you know, if God gives you a promise of something and you know, we don't allow that word or that promise to take root in our heart, that we can actually fall short of it. You know, that promise, you know, whatever God has promised you, that promise could be either in scripture or it could be a prophetic word. You know, sometimes, y'all, the reason why people don't receive the prophetic word, they'll say, oh, well, you know, that word didn't come to pass. You know, that prophet, he prophesied that and it didn't come to pass. Well, you know, that might be true, but then, you know, the scripture is showing us right here that there is a responsibility on the person that received that prophetic word to take that word and receive it in faith. And that's why a lot of times prophetic words do fall to the ground, because the people who receive the prophetic word don't believe it. And the scripture says right here that the promise being left us, we fall short of it because we don't believe it. Okay, verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." You know, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the Lord is saying right there, you know, that same gospel that was preached to you, that was preached to me, that caused us to get saved, you know, was preached to thousands and thousands of other people, and it didn't profit them because they didn't mix what they heard with faith. So therefore, it didn't profit them. So what I'm saying about that is this, you know, you receive a prophetic word for the Lord and he says, you know, I'm going to cause you to prosper. Okay. Then you accept and you receive that word in faith. You know, you don't sit there and fold your arms and say, okay, I'm going to see if this prophet knows what he's talking about. I'm going to see if this comes to pass. You know, God doesn't have to prove to you that somebody is a prophet. His word already do it for him. So what I'm saying is this, you know, when you receive a prophecy, and I'm not just saying just from me, any prophet that's been called of God, you know, don't sit there with your hands folded and say, okay, I'm going to wait and see if this word comes to pass. No, that's exactly what the Israelites did. Well, okay, we're going to see what God can do. You know, God, he doesn't have to prove himself to you. The Lord does not have to prove himself to anybody. He's already proven himself through his word. Scripture says that, you know, the earth shall come and go, but my word will remain forever. God says, in the beginning was the word was God, the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. It says from the very beginning, you know, the Lord was here and his word was with us, and the word was God, and the word became God, and the word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, which the word becoming flesh was the incarnate Jesus Christ. God took his word and indwelled it in the form of a man who was Jesus Christ, and, you know, and he dwelt among us. Amen. So, you know, when we start looking at faith and understanding faith and believing God, you know, we have to understand that His word is true. And whatever he said, the scripture says, his word is yet is true, and all the promises are yes and amen. So if God has a word that he's spoken concerning you that's become rhema in your heart, if God has spoken a word and he says that by his stripes you are healed, he really means that. That by his stripes you have already been declared healed. You know, if God says, you know, bless you, you be in the city, bless you be in the country, then what God is saying is you have become blessed. You know, if the scripture says, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, then that's exactly what God will do. God is supplying all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, I can hear some of you saying, you're saying, well, Brother Kyle, if that's true, then why am I still broke? You know, if God is healed, if I'm supposed to be healed, then why am I sick right now? I would, you know, challenge you. That probably the reason why you have not received a manifestation of what it is that you're praying for is that because there's something within you that is not in agreement with what the scripture says. You know, and I know that's a bitter pill to swallow. But if you're not receiving what it is that God has promised you in the scripture, there's something within you that is not in agreement with what God has said about you. You remember, I'll give you this analogy. You remember when the scripture says that Jesus was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, and then, you know, the enemy you know, did the temptations and said, you know, hey, I'll give you control over the city if you'll worship me once. Hey, you know, why don't you jump off this cliff? And the angels will bear you up with their hands. Hey, why don't you take these stones and make bread out of them? And Jesus basically rebuked him the whole time. And how did Jesus rebuke him? He rebuked him with the word. Every time Satan came with a challenge or the temptation of his strength and his power, Jesus fought back with the word. He fought back with the word. He fought back with the word. And then the scripture says at the end that after Jesus had finished fighting back with the word, it says that the enemy left him because he found nothing in him. You know, Jesus, the enemy found nothing in him. The enemy found nothing in Jesus. You know what that means? That means that basically there was nothing in Jesus by which the enemy could play on and drag him into sin. You know, the scripture says it this way. He says a man is brought into temptation by his own lust. You know, anytime we fall to sin and we fall or succumb to the power of the enemy is because it's something in us that the enemy can identify with. You know, we have pride in our hearts. You know, so the enemy tries to pull us apart with pride. We have anger in our heart. So the enemy tries to pull us apart with anger. We have jealousy, wrath, clamor, bitterness, you know, lust, perversion, sexual sin, whatever it is. You know, the scripture says that we're drawn away of our own lust. You know, if you're enticed to look at pornography, if you're enticed to sleep with another man's wife, if you're enticed to, you know, commit sin, whatever it is, I'm just giving sexual sins right now. There's plenty of other sins. You're enticed in a sin is because, and you succumb to the sin. You know, it's because there's something within you that agrees with the enemy, and that could be a wound in your soul. It could be a generational iniquity. You know, your father was a whoremonger. You know, your great-grandfather was a whoremonger. Your great-grandmama, she was an alcoholic. Your mama was an alcoholic. You know, it could be a generational iniquity, or it could be a sin that you've committed yourself, you know. And the enemy, when you committed that sin, it created a wound in your soul. And so then the enemy comes to you, and he challenges you, and he tempts you in that area. And you fall for it because there's a wound in your soul that's in agreement with the sin that the enemy is tempting you with. Amen. I know I'm putting a lot of, I'm giving you a lot of stuff to think about tonight. But see, all of these things are things that inhibit our faith and our ability to believe God. Because, check it out. You know, Scripture says it this way, the Lord restores my soul, you know. And what is our soul? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Some people say that, you know, when the Scripture talks about the heart, it's talking about our mind and our emotions. You know, and David said it this way after he had committed a sin with Bathsheba. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. And then, so basically what Jesus was, what David was saying was, Lord, you know, create in me a new mind and create in me new emotions. You know, I don't want my emotions all over the place. You know, David realized that his emotions were not in line with where they should be. And you think about it. How did David get into sin with Bathsheba? He was out. He was supposed to have been in battle. He was out on the porch. He looks down off the porch, sees Bathsheba. He gets in his emotions. You know, as you know, the kids these days, they say, you know, he was in his feelings. Well, that's what happened to David. That's how David fell into sin. He was in his feelings. You know, but we know we're not to be led by our feelings. You know, Scripture says that. You know, David then said, you know, after he committed the sin with Bathsheba and Gad, Nathan, the prophet, convicted him. You know, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. So David was saying, you know, I recognize, Lord, that I have some wounds in my soul. I need to be cleansed. I need to be cleansed, Lord. I need you to cleanse my heart of these wounds in my soul. And the Scripture says that then the Lord began to work with him. David went into a deep repentance, and the Lord began to work with him. But I'm submitting that a lot of times we fail to receive from the Lord because there are wounds in our soul. There's areas in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions that are not in line with the word of God, whether that's the prophetic word or with that's the Holy Scripture. You know, and the Scripture says it this way. It says, so a man thinks in his heart, that's his mind and his emotions. So as a man thinks in his mind and his emotions, so is he. So think of it this way. If so a man thinks in his heart, so how I think in my mind and my emotions is how I am. Then now you see that if in my mind I believe, or should I say I don't believe, that God can bless me because I'm so wicked, I'm so sinful, I'm a worm, I'm the lowest scum of the earth, and I believe that, but yet I pray and I ask God to bless me. What that scripture is saying is, so a man thinks his heart, so is he. What that scripture is literally saying is that to the degree and the dimension that you believe that God will bless you and give you what it is you're praying, that's going to be to the degree and the dimension that you receive from God. And we know that from the scripture in the parable of sower. Because it says, you know, after it gives the analogy, it says that some received from the Lord 30, some received 60, some received 100-fold return. So what I submit to you is, a lot of times we blame God and we say, okay, God, why am I not receiving what I'm praying for? Or why am I not receiving the total manifestation of what it is that I'm praying and I'm asking you for? And I would submit to you that one of the reasons why we don't receive to the dimension of what it is that we're asking, we're praying for, is because we only believe God will give it to us to the degree of 30, 60, 100-fold, or maybe none at all, you know. Because many times when we pray to the Lord and we say, Lord, bless me, give me this, help me pay this bill, heal me, whatever it is, whatever your desire is. We pray that. But in our heart, in our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions, we really don't believe that God is going to give us what it is that we pray for. Now, the scripture says it this way in 1 John, it says, 1 John 5, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of. That's 1 John 5. So you guys look that up. That'd be a great scripture for you to meditate on. Think of that. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask of anything according to his word, he heals us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of. Amen. So that scripture gives us a confidence in knowing I don't have to wonder if God is going to heal me, because the scripture has already provided healing. I don't have to wonder if God is going to help me pay my bill, because the scripture says God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I don't have to worry that God is going to, remove me from stress, because the scripture says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. And the scripture also says, you know, beloved, think upon these things, things that are good, things that are lovely, things that have a good report. So we see from the scripture, from the word of God, that God has already provided for us healing, blessing, happiness, increase, anything that's good. The scripture says that anything that's good is from God. God has provided it for us already. So when I go to him in prayer, I can go to him in strong faith, knowing, not wondering, not wishing, not hoping and a praying, but actually knowing that I know that I know that when I pray and I ask God for this, that he's going to give it to me. The scripture says it in Mark 11. It says, whatsoever things that you desire, when you pray, if you believe you receive it, you'll have it. If you believe if you believe you receive it, you'll have it. See, the contingency is not even on God. You know, we say, oh, well, you know, I prayed this, but I guess God didn't want me to have it. Well, the scripture says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, if you believe it, you shall receive it. So the contingency, you know, and most times for when what we receive from God is based upon our faith and believing his word. And where does the faith come from? The faith comes from his word. His word says, you know, in Joshua 1 and 8, it says, meditate upon these things day and night, for in them you shall prosper, and you shall have good success. You know, the Lord says, if we continually meditate on the word of God, what does that mean? I continually speak the word of God. I continually get it in my ears. I continually look at it. I continually listen to it. And the Lord says, if I do that, I shall have good success. And what's the meditation for? The meditation is what boosts my faith to believe him. Because the scripture says this is the confidence we have in him. If we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of. And so when we're looking at all these things, you know, this is why faith is so important. Because faith is an element that allows us to receive from God. Scripture says in Hebrews, this way, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in closing, as we get ready to close, I'm going to open up the phone lines for a few minutes and take prophetic words. This is your takeaway, I guess I should say. This is a takeaway that I want you to leave with tonight, is that God's faith, or the faith that God's faith that he's called us to walk in, is contingent upon us. What we receive from God is contingent upon us. You know, scripture says, God gave the promise. It did not profit children of Israel because it was not mixed with faith. So everything that we receive from the Lord is based upon our faith. And for us to access things by faith, we have to know that we know. When we pray and we ask God for it, we have to know that we know that we know that we know that we receive what it is God has promised for us. And we know that we receive what God has promised for us because God says we can be confident that we received it because we've prayed it according to His will. And we know that it's His will because God has already provided for it, provided for us in His scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is what I'm going to be teaching on for the next few weeks. Guest caller, 347-996-3442, 347-996-3442. I do want to share a few things with you before I open the phone lines. I am going to Africa March 19th. I'll be leaving. I'll be there for a whole week from the 20th through the 27th. I really would like to ask you all if you guys would stand with me in faith. The Lord has spoken something to me, and I was kind of hesitant in sharing this because, just a lot of times people have taken the scriptures and have abused them to raise big offerings. And I'm not about that. But one of the things, as I was praying, I was seeking the Lord. I've been invited to minister in a church in Accra, Ghana. And as I was praying about it, the Lord told me to go. And any of you who know anything about foreign travel know that the dollar in Africa is worth a whole lot more there than it is here. And so most African churches, they don't have the finances to fly ministers over and pay honorariums like other churches do. And so basically if you find a minister that is traveling to Africa, they're typically traveling as a missionary, and absorbing and paying the costs themselves. And that's what I'm doing. But the Lord has told me to go. And I really almost hesitate in saying this, but I had to be obedient to what the Lord told me. Because I was praying and I was asking the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, how am I going to do this? And he said, blog talk. And I said, blog talk? He said, yeah. He said, your blog talk radio show. He said, put the request out to your people that listen to you on Blog Talk, and he referred to you as my sheep. He said, put the request out to your sheep on Blog Talk, and he said that your sheep, that they will help support you and help you in raising the money to go. And so that's what I'm doing. And then what he told me was this. He said, to those people who give a seed, towards your Ghana trip, the Lord says, I'm going to bless them with a thousandfold blessing. And I said, really, Lord? I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm going to bless them with a thousandfold blessing according to Deuteronomy 1:11. Well, Deuteronomy 1:11 says, may the Lord thy God bless thee a thousand times more. A thousand times more. It's just like the little boy, he had the five fishes. He had the two fishes and the five loaves of bread. And the scripture says that Jesus then took the five loaves of bread and he broke it, and the Lord multiplied it. And the scripture says that he then fed 5,000. So the Lord took five loaves of bread and he multiplied it by 1,000. Amen. And the Lord says that those people that would give into my trip to Ghana, that the Lord said that he would bless them with a thousandfold blessing. And what I'm even doing is those people who contribute to my trip to Ghana, I'm going to take your prayer request to Ghana with me. And me and the African prophets, we're going to prophesy and lay hands over your prayer request. We're going to lay hands over your prayer request. And I'm going to send you some anointing oil back from Ghana. So, to those of you who give, the Lord said, I'm going to take your prayer request, and me and the African prophets in Ghana, we're going to lay hands over your prayer request and prophesy seeking the Lord for His perfect will in your life. And then I'm going to ship you some oil from Ghana. So it's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be an awesome blessing. The Lord is promising that those people who then give, that he's going to bless them with a thousandfold return. Amen. So before I open up the phone lines, I want to pray for those of you tonight, you know, that God will activate and that he will increase your faith. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's listening tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this message, Lord, that you're bringing back the message of faith. You know, Lord, we know 60s and 70s, you concentrated on this doctrine of faith. And, Lord, I just sense that in the past few years that it's a teaching that's beginning to slip, Lord. But we need your faith, Lord, so that we can enter into this great awakening, this great revival of souls that you have promised us for this year of 2016. So I thank you, and I ask that everyone that's listening tonight, that you would impart unto them supernatural divine faith, that you would increase their faith, and that Lord, that the word of God, the promises of God would benefit them because it would be mixed with faith, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, that you're doing it and you're moving forward now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen, amen. All right, I'm going to open up the phone lines. Hold on just 1 second, y'all. I need to close my recording out as well. Okay, so I'm going to open the phone lines. Okay, caller, your last 4 digits are 3309. You're live and on the air. All righty. Hello? Hello? All right, y'all. When the prophet comes to you, be ready. Be ready. This one's taking a little bit longer to open. Okay. All right, caller, you're live and on the air. Hello? Hello, 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 hello. All righty. I'm going to open up one more, and then I'm going to call it a night then. All right, caller, 1341, you're live and on the air.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
How can I help you?
I just feel like if you just pray for me.
Okay. What's your name and what you need me to pray for?
My name is Carolyn. Just pray for God to just show me some things in my life that I'm going through. I've been praying about. I just need some answers.
Okay. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Carolyn and what you're doing in her life. And Carolyn, the Lord says this is a time of reckoning. This is a time for you to put your hands to the plow and know that I am God. God says I've given you some directives on some things, and you've been kind of slow to move forward. And so God says then now I've had to kind of put the reins on things until you move forward. But God says, as soon as you put 1 foot forward, I'm gonna put 2 forward. As soon as you put 2 feet forward, I'll put 6 feet, because I'm moving you. And God says even now it's kind of an uncomfortable situation, but God says that I'm calling you out of the old and I'm bringing you into a new reckoning. But God says that the tables will turn, and God says that the situation will turn, but God says first you got to make some tough decisions and know that I'm going to back you up. Because God says when you make the decisions that you need to, God says I'm going to back you up. God said I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to make sure that you move forward and that you move forward successfully. God says just worship me, and God says in that worship time with me, God says I'll begin to even start tearing down some things. And God says I'm going to protect you. But God says, first I need you to just go ahead and take the first step. It's kind of like you've been waiting, saying, well, I'll do this when this happens and that happens. But God says, I'm calling you to go ahead and move forward now. But God says when you do, as soon as you make that move forward, I'm gonna be there with you, and I'm gonna take you through, and I'm gonna bring you out, says the Spirit of the Living God.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, sister.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, caller, 2834, are you live and on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Good night.
All righty.
This is Nicole.
Nicole, okay. Where are you calling from, Nicole?
I'm actually in Florida just now.
Okay, all righty. And what's going on?
I just needed to pray and just whatever the Lord is saying.
Okay, Nicole. Father, thank you, Lord, for Nicole and what you're doing in her life. Nicole, the Lord says this is a season of great testing. God says you've been tested, but God said you've been proven to be faithful. The Lord says that I'm working out your situation, and God says I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. For the Lord says that you've come through a great crisis, but you're about to come through great triumph. And the Lord says that the fire of God is being built around you as a wall of fire, to protect you and to bring about change in some areas. God says that I'm forcing you to move forward in me, but God says the work that you're going to do to get there is going to happen supernaturally. God says I'm elevating your steps, and God says you're going to walk through and you're going to come out on the other side successfully. God says patience, but God says my work, I'm working it out, and I'm moving forward in your life, and I'm causing you to succeed in everything that you put your hands to, because I'm abiding within you. I'm abiding within you. My word is abiding within you, and my spirit is resting upon you, says the Spirit of the Living God.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. God bless you, sister.
Okay, God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. All righty. All right, caller, your last four digits are 0782.
Well, I am Brother Lewis in New York. I'm not really looking
Hello.
For a word, but I would like to support you on the trip to Ghana. When is the is there a deadline where we can, do our support? Give
no,
our
sir.
Offering,
There's no deadline. I leave on March the 19th. So,
okay.
But there's no deadline. You can just give it any time, within that time, as you lay by the Lord.
Okay, I hear that.
Okay.
And
what's your name again?
My name is Lewis. I'm a part of the ministry now.
Oh, okay. You're part of the ministry?
Yes, I would consider myself a part of the ministry.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Okay. Is there anything in particular that you believe in God for?
No, I sold my $52 seed that you sent me a beautiful word, and I'm just hanging out with you.
Okay, then. Okay.
And receiving the teachings.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this dear soul. Lewis, the Lord says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And the Lord says you have been one that's been obedient to the things that I've called you to. And God says you're going to now see that obedience pay off in big dividends. The Lord says, you mentioned this seed, but the Lord says there's also been a lot of sacrificial seeds that you've sown, some seeds that were even uncomfortable. But you move forward in it because you understand the concept of sowing and reaping, and you also understand the ministries that God has given different women and men of God and how important it is to support those things. So God says, I'm going to begin to start raining upon you a new blessing. And the Lord says you're going to find yourself having a greater level of resources to do what it is that you need to do. I see you like working in partnerships with other people. I see you being like a team leader. You know, you're like that type of person that you can rally people together and get people going and working together for a common good. And God says that that's going to prove to be very beneficial to you, because the Lord says that there is a pastoral gift within you, where you have a love for his people and a love for ministering to them and counseling them. And God says, for a season, I'm going to put you in a ministry where you're going to be counseling people. You're going to be encouraging them and speaking to them the word of the Lord and how it applies to them in their everyday situations, and giving them encouragement on how they can move forward in things, because the Lord says, I've allowed you to experience a lot of different situations, and I've allowed you to experience those situations for the express purpose that you can bring others out of the things that I've brought you out of. Because the Lord says, I brought you out of much. But God says, as I brought you out of much, I'm also going to use you to deliver and to bring many others out of much, says the Spirit of the living God. So, Father, I thank you so much for Lewis. I thank you, Lord, for the $52 seed and those seeds that are going to be sown in the future. Lord, I speak and pray Deuteronomy 1:11 over his finances. You said, may the Lord thy God bless Lewis 1,000 times more. 1,000 times more, 1,000 times more. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that the glory is over him, that you cover him with your glory as he receives this divine blessing. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Well, I receive that. Thank you so very much, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Lewis. And thank you so much for supporting the ministry. Amen. Alrighty, good people. So I will be back on next week. I'll try to get to more of your prophecies. If you have pressing requests for prophetic word, you can go to my website, prophetkyle.com, and I will minister to you as soon as I can. I love you all so much, and I look forward to spending time with you next week on Beauty for Ashes. Bye-bye.